Welcome back to another episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Braden. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. And we're here with Creatine Chris Marler.
Yeah.
Burn Funquist, Dumbquist. What's up, buddy?
Creatine. Liquid Flame. We got a great little group here. Oh, geez, Louise is here. This is gonna be a fun one.
Yeah.
Let's go back for a second. We talked before the SEC tournament, did we not?
Mm-hmm.
Who did I say was going to win?
I told you that Florida was going to beat Tennessee, and you said Florida would beat Auburn.
Shut up, Mike.
Yeah! So I got you once again. But hey, before we get rolling, so we're going to do an NCAA tournament breakdown. We got to give a shout out to our presenting sponsor, our friends over at MyBookie, Chris. If you haven't already, head on over to mybookie.ag. That's a website. Put in that promo code that SEC, THATSEC. You can see it at the bottom of the screen there. They are willing to match any initial deposit 50%. So whatever you put in, they're going to give you half to double your money for the NCAA tournament, Chris. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that. You know what?
No, it doesn't.
But, and hey, speaking of that, so we're going to break down all the point spreads. Who's Auburn going to play? I mean, that's the lingering question I have in the tournament. Who is Auburn going to play in their opening round? I mean, can you give us a breakdown of those loser teams?
No. Absolutely.
Okay, perfect.
Now, I will say, it's interesting looking at the things already. We did a show on this last night for Locked On, and Zach Blackerby, who's he's their Auburn guy.
Right.
He
loves
made a
freeze,
comment.
Right?
Yeah, he does. He made a comment that he didn't think that Auburn got screwed at all. I think Auburn got screwed. I think there's a couple of SEC teams that you're like I worry about the draws they got.
Mm-hmm.
And Auburn's one of them because Auburn goes into this, the thing as the number one overall seed, and they get in potential game in round two against Louisville, who is an 8 seed, but ranked 10th in the country. And it's just odd. I will tell you this. I think that looking at the four teams, like the top four teams with Bama, Florida, Tennessee, and Auburn, the ones I have the most confidence in to make it like a deep run is Tennessee and Florida. And not just because of what happened on Sunday, but mainly because of how they're both built and where they're both kind of where they've been headed.
Mm. All right. So we're going to make predictions for all the games here in a minute, Chris. But shout out, Horton hears you. He just gifted a membership to L.A. Bomb. L.A. Bomb, welcome to the family. Chris, I know you have a mom, but she doesn't live in L.A., but now you do. Now you have an L.A. mom that is here watching your content. How does that make you feel?
It's good. It's good to have multiple moms. You know what I mean?
Multiple Christmases. You know what you know what I'm saying?
I'm a stone's throw from Decatur, Georgia right now. So anybody that's around Atlanta will get that joke. And it's not a... Not too. Can we in the chat? Can we please talk about Mike's hat? Because I'm growing. It's growing on me.
Yeah, it's not growing on me at all. But I'm wearing it for the comedic effect. You know what?
Yeah, yeah. Marler was hatched. That's kind of fair.
All right. Let's break down some of these before we get down to predicting the bracket. I really want to jump into these point spreads and where you're kind of at for each and every SEC. Again, we don't have Auburn yet because we don't know their opponent, but it doesn't matter who they're playing. They're going to beat the hell out of whoever it is in the opening round. Same deal probably with Florida, who's playing Norfolk State. Florida's a 29-point favorite. Where would you lean on that for an NCAA tournament game?
Hold on. See, you just started watching basketball this year. You're too young and you're basketball fandom. If there's any Missouri fans in here, you need to ask them what they think of Norfolk State, because that will send a lot of Mizzou fans into a bit of a tizzy, because I'm not too young to remember when Norfolk State was a 15 seed and played one of the best Mizzou teams they've had in program history in 2012, a team that went 1-1 against Kansas that year. It was their first year in the SEC. Actually, I think it might have been 2011, 2012. So it was before they joined the SEC officially that year. And they would go in round one and get beat by Norfolk State. Now, that team obviously was 13 years ago, and they're much different. They're built differently. And I don't know if anyone in the opening weekend is going to be able to be physical enough or good enough for like inside or out to be Florida. Here's the thing. I said this to you a while back. Actually, I think I might have just said it on Twitter and you just made fun of me about it while I was saying it. Nod your head because that tracks. I think they were playing Bama or they were playing somebody, and I was like, well, you have to think that Florida won't shoot 60% in the second half. And then lo and behold, they shoot like 65. Like they have been so good at scoring and so efficient the way they've scored, like whether it's from deep, whether it's inside, like, I mean, Condon's been great. And their bench has been really good. So I don't think Florida has any issues there early on.
Okay. Any concern though at all? And again, probably not for this game, but maybe moving forward, because I've already declared it. I think they're marching to the Sweet 16, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't won it at all.
Any concern? Man, you just gave away the...
No, I'm kidding. I don't.
Oh, okay. Well, any concern that they're hearing this, that now they're the favorites? They stormed through the SEC, and now that Jay Billis has got them, I think, as the pick to win it all. Any concern that they're getting too much hype, that it could get to them going into this? Now they're basically the team with the target on their back.
Yeah. It's weird. So I don't know if we said it on here. That soft Bama ass, that is uncomfortable. like super uncomfortable. Anyway, I think that it's interesting because I said this last week. I think it was on SiriusXM or something. Like it was like those like that team has been the second best team in the SEC all year. They've been a top five team for almost the entire year, right? Like and they are really, really, really good. It's almost like they've gone not unnoticed, but they've just kind of flown under the radar because all of the talk for all season has been about Auburn and Duke and Cooper Flagg and Jani Broome. And then you talk about like a lot with Houston and Bama and Tennessee. And it's like Florida has just been quietly somehow beating the shit out of everybody all season long. I mean, they had four losses. Now they didn't play a tough out of conference schedule, but they beat the shit out of everybody on that schedule by almost 20 points plus on average during the non-con. So I don't think that they're in trouble just because they have the target on their back. I think that the way that if you watch them play in Coleman Coliseum against that really soft Bama ass that guy was describing earlier, I think that if you watch them play, you kind of got the feeling that they liked the villain role a lot. And I think that'll probably play into that. And I will tell you this too. If you're Bama or an Auburn fan, you've watched your team win that tournament in the last 2 years and then he bounced on the first weekend or by the Sweet 16. I mean, Auburn won it last year, thought they were going to go on a run. They get a 4 seed. They lose in the first round to Yale. Bama was the number one overall seed 2 years ago after winning the SEC tournament and regular season, and they lost in the Sweet 16 to San Diego State.
Well, you know who's not going to lose opening round? That's Tennessee. Come on. Tennessee's 18.5-point favorite over Wofford.
Can Tennessee... Terriers, brother.
Can they cover that?
Yes. I mean, I don't know. Do I know? Listen, here's something. I don't know if you have seen this yet. You're on Twitter a lot, so you might have. One of the things about Tennessee playing Wofford has a dude that's built like, I don't know, like a 1980s wrestler. Very tall, not super muscular. And he went viral last week because he was shooting free throws granny style. He banked in a free throw underhanded. And you're going to love that guy. It sucks that we don't get more of him throughout the entire tournament. So
that's a lost art, you know, throwing the free throw underhanded. I mean, Shaq could have been really good had he done that. You know what?
Yeah, maybe.
He may have been a Hall of Famer. You know what? Just
reached out and touched it. It makes no sense.
How about Alabama versus Robert Morris? And any truth to the rumors that Robert Morris is your middle name?
Bob Morris? Yeah. No, my dad's name was Dyke. And so I have a family middle name. So it's a tough, but I don't ever say that on Twitter. You know, no, my name is Joseph, idiot. Robert Morris, I do love when we get to this part of the year when it's like, hey, who's Tennessee playing? Who's Mississippi State playing? Who's LSU playing? They're not in it, but you know what I mean? It's like, who's LSU playing? It's like, oh, Fairleigh Dickinson? Robert Morris? Like, what insurance ads or salesman is it? It's incredible, dude. Like, I love it. I love it.
Yeah, so Bama's going to cover, though, the 22, you think?
I do not. I mean, I don't know anything about Robert Morris. I just don't. That's a lot of points. That's a lot of points. And I think that they are most likely going to sit Grant Nelson in the first round. Nelson had a knee injury against Florida. It was on his left knee. It was not on his soft Bama ass. But he is going to be at least hampered in the first round. They think they can get back by Sunday. But I think Nate Oates' own words were they dodged one there. So I think they're not going to be full power. Bama and Auburn both need to get the backcourts going and get them back with a little bit of confidence and scoring a little bit more.
Yeah. So you don't like Bama soft ass to cover. No surprise. But is Grant Nelson, is he going to get a haircut or anything?
I mean, I need a haircut more than he does. Look at this thing.
You've seen this kid's haircut, right? Okay.
He looks terrible. But here's the thing, too. Keep an eye on him, Mike, because he is probably the ugliest person on the court every time he's on the court. But that cat can ball in March, because last year, I know Bama fans will remember this, the UNC game, which is the Grant Nelson legacy game. Honestly, it might not even be the Grant Nelson legacy game anymore after that win in Auburn. But, yeah, he should be good.
How about Kentucky? Favored by 10.5 versus Troy. How about that?
It's interesting. It's only 10.5. It's also interesting that Kentucky got a 3 seed at 22-11. It just doesn't seem. They beat Tennessee twice. I just wonder how many more games they could have lost and still been a 3 seed. It just seems like they were. It seems like they were projected to be there over a month ago, and they were not going to be moved off that line. I would take them to cover here. I think that they're going to come out with a lot to prove early, especially because of the narrative that's been around Kentucky basketball before Mark Pope got there, which is tons of talent, really good team. But they have a tendency to kind of show up flat in the first weekend. Now, it's also a Kentucky team that is, I don't know what the numbers are now after the SEC tournament, but going into it, they were the second highest scoring team in the country. And so that's something, I mean, to cover 10.5 against Troy, yeah, it's a great movie. I loved every bit of Brad Pitt's abs in that movie, but still, I don't think it's going to play here.
Did you see Mark Pope? He vowed to any Kentucky fan that makes the drive up to where they're playing, he's going to cover their gas.
No, but I did see in the movie Troy. So there's this one scene where they're fighting. I think it's like for the Helena Troy. Have you ever seen it? It's really good.
Oh yeah, I've seen it. Yeah,
I got it on Blu-ray. So,
but it's in Milwaukee. He's covering people's drive to Milwaukee. How wild is that?
Is that a close drive?
Well, a couple hours.
What if like the deal, he says that's the deal, and then it ends up being like that weird scene in Home Alone where it's like, hey, so like, listen, we couldn't afford gas for everyone, so we have a U-Haul van that we have packed full of like a polka band, and John Candy's fat ass is going to be in the back seat, and you're going to ride with him with no windows.
I would rock with that. Hey, Wesley, shout out Wesley. He just gave us $5. Clean your glasses, Marler, for the love of God.
Say, please. Hold on, say it again.
Clean your glasses, Marler.
I just found my girlfriend's burner. That's awesome.
Jeez Louise says Brad Pitt is your man crush.
No, he was in 2006, but not anymore. And yeah. 2012. So
yeah. Okay. How about last thing about Kentucky. Maybe they got they got overseeded because these refs are so corrupt. I keep hearing this. Why do Kentucky fans think the refs are always out to get them?
Dude. Kentucky basketball fans are, they're just so not used to lose. I don't know if Kentucky fans will ever be okay with the fact that they're not going to be the best team every year. Like not even just the best team anymore, but the best team every year. They've had a really hard time. Anytime they lose, it is not their own fault.
Okay. Well, sounds like an Alabama football fan. All right, how about Texas, Xavier? That's one of the early play-in type games. Texas is an underdog. I'm pretty surprised by that. They caught a little bit of fire late. What are the odds they advance, you think?
Very good. So the one of the best things about March is individual players taking over in big games. And Trey Johnson is one of the best players in the country in college basketball. He just plays for a team that's pretty bad. My glasses are clean. I don't know what I did.
They look great to me.
Thank you. I appreciate it. But no, I think Trey Johnson is just so good. And you saw that on display. It's weird because you saw it on display so much late in the season. And then in the game where they arguably needed it most and what we thought was a must win to get in the tournament against Oklahoma, he goes 0 for 14, which is still, I can't even wrap my head around it. It's just unbelievable. So I think that he will be able, they're an underdog, which I love, in the first round to beat Xavier. And then I also think they're going to beat Illinois. There's, if you look at ESPN, some of the analytics they have running and stuff like that, and odds to advance, two of the best odds for underdogs in the entire tournament to advance are either Xavier over Illinois or Texas over Illinois. I also think that Texas has that it factor because they don't have a ton of help around them, but Trey Johnson is good enough to get them into the second round.
Yeah, and that's a mouthful from you, considering you loathe the coach there.
I do hate their coach. He is he seems like a B word.
Well, speaking of Brad Calipari, maybe he's still on the staff here. Arkansas, 4.5-point underdog against Kansas. Mighty Kansas. Probably shouldn't even be in the tournament. But Arkansas is a popular pick to make a run. Can they do it?
If they are healthy, if they are truly healthy, they can make a run. I was honestly impressed, though, the way they were able to play in the first round, especially with Adu, and be able to come off the bench. And like, you know, this team is at its – not maybe at its best. They're at its best when Thero's in, and they have him and Wagner and the other kid, Ivicevic, all three transfers from Kentucky. That's when they're at their best. Those are their three – arguably their three most talented players. I'm not saying they're best necessarily, but they're most talented players. Ivicevic has been – he just doesn't seem like himself right now. Like, he just seems like not a ton of confidence. And they're also – they've been playing so thin – so they got to be a little bit tired. It's just hard to not go with Kansas because I don't know if I've ever seen Kansas as a 7 seed in the men's tournament at all. So, and it's also, listen, that I hope Arkansas beats the shit out of Kansas. I hate Kansas. I hate Kansas. but I will also say it's difficult to think that a team that came in preseason number one is bounced early, even if it's a team like Arkansas that's really talented.
Damn, Kansas was preseason number one?
Yeah.
Hey, Wesley. Wesley just became a member to the channel. Wesley, welcome to the family.
He's been here the whole time. He's been saying he's my dad.
Well, I think he is your dad. And I think he became a member because you cleaned your glasses.
I didn't clean my glasses, so fuck you, Dad.
Welcome to the Kansas Hate Club, Bartler, says Cousin John.
I hate Kansas so irrationally much. And I tell you what, and John, like, you'll get it because you're a Mizzou fan, and I fully understand it. The SEC officiating was so bad this year, but if you ever want to take a trip down just not even memory lane, but nightmare lane, go watch the Big 12 and how they officiated Kansas games for years. I don't think that Kansas should have gotten in just because of how bad they were throughout the whole season. Now, being objective, yes, they were good enough to be in, and that's fine. They're a 7 seed, whatever. They have a ton of talent on that team, and Bill Self is still probably one of the best coaches in the country. But my God, they mailed it in for most of the year, and I hate Kansas.
Well, I know you love the Georgia Bulldogs. How about Georgia Bulldogs playing Gonzaga? Georgia, nearly a touchdown underdog here, 6.5 points. Georgia, they are another team that could they make a run? I feel like they have some pieces, and this could be the classic I was telling Shane on the last show that, you know, wouldn't stun me if Georgia makes a little bit of a run, or it doesn't have to be Georgia. It could be any of these teams. And all of a sudden, the country is like, good God, the SEC really was stacked that this team made a run. I think Georgia's got some pieces to do that.
No, they don't.
Damn it. Come on.
But, like, listen. Well, no, okay, hold on. I'm going through it now because they got to play Houston around round two. Houston is just a really frustrating team to play. Like I'm trying to think of a baseball or a football comparison for you. They are just a – Houston is really good, but they are going to keep the score 62 to 58 the whole time. It's going to be very low scoring. It's not going to be great. Now, here's the thing. Georgia and Gonzaga in round one, Gonzaga is getting the benefit of the doubt because they have made, like, I don't know, somebody correct me in the chat if you want, 20-something straight tournaments. They've made 9 straight Sweet 16s. That's a program that we're often – like, recently – we often see them as like a 1, 2, 3, or 4 seed. They don't play anybody. Georgia has the pieces to make a first-round win. They don't have the pieces to beat Houston, in my opinion. Now, when you look at Georgia, I don't know anything about Gonzaga. I know that I think it's Neymar. is that, or how do you pronounce his name? They have a 3-year starter point guard, is one of the best players in their conference. He's been really solid for them for 3 straight years, and they have one of the best coaches in Mark Few, like in the entire country. Side note, my favorite time of year, Mike, because you know I love doing my my matchup breakdowns.
Yeah.
With Gonzaga, I don't know if you saw me tweet this earlier. Gonzaga, this is a true story. Gonzaga is home to a reformed retirement house for like Jesuit Catholics that has, it's on campus, and it has over 20 people that have been basically, for lack of better words, canceled or been through some sort of sexual misconduct, abuse, scandal, whatever, from the Catholic Church. That's on Gonzaga's campus. So I think we're all Georgia fans going into this game, for one. Two, I just don't think that Gonzaga is that good this year. They played in a shit conference, and they weren't able to be as dominant, nearly as dominant as they usually are. Georgia has a lottery pick in Asa Newell. Blue Kane can be really good. They're big and physical down low. And then also, Silas Demery's been awesome. Silas Demery's been awesome, has a chance to be one of the best guards in the league when he comes back next year. So I think they're going to be good.
Okay. Well, I just never know where you're going to take these previews, but I love it. All right. Missouri favored to beat the rapper Drake in the first round by 6.5 points.
Yeah.
Can Missouri cover that, you think?
Listen, Mizzou's got a couple of guys that are COVID seniors, and we all know that Drake struggles with anything over the age of 18. So I think some of that more veteran leadership from Mizzou is going to be really tough for Drake to deal with. Say, Drake. I don't know anything about Drake. I feel like they're in the tournament every year. Drake is either like a 9-11 seed in the tournament, or they are in the final four for the NIT, I think, every year since I've been alive. I like this Missouri team a lot. I think they're way better than people give them credit for. They have a lot of big wins on their schedule. Listen, or on their resume. They beat Bama at home like a drum. They beat Florida on the road, even though it was early on. But they're a really good basketball team. I don't know. I was surprised they lost to Kentucky late at home, but I like Mizzou to win. I think Mizzou's going to be one of the 6 teams in the SEC that makes the Sweet 16.
I love to hear that. And I love the fact that you know they're in the SEC. Last time you didn't. How about A&M? Yale. Beat Auburn last year, and apparently they've got a really good coach. But Texas A&M favored by 7.5. How do you thoughts on that game?
I felt like in early February, I was really excited about this A&M team because they rebound so well. And I think that Wade Taylor, when he's on, can be one of the best players in the country. I really do. I he can be really good from beyond the arc. He can be really good driving and off the dribble. And he's very efficient from the free throw line, especially. So that like has all the makings of a guy that can go get you 20 in the tournament in any game. He hasn't necessarily been like that. And A&M, I know we had that huge win against Auburn, but the Texas loss seemed inexplicable, the way they lost to Texas. And they haven't been great. Like before that Auburn game, they had lost, I think, 4 or 5 in a row. So they worry me because offensively they can be very challenged. They are offensively challenged sometimes. And I don't love them in that spot. Yale. They have the Ivy League Defensive Player of the Year, who's a 3-year, I think, all-conference player down low. I don't know if he's a forward or center or 4 or 5, but they should be good. You saw this last year against Auburn. They hit 9. I think they shot 45%. They were 9 of 20 from 3 last year. Now, there's a kid on their team. I cannot pronounce his name. I don't know if it's Greek or what, but it's like Padulikas. That kid had 28 last year against Auburn. He hit 8 threes. He leads them in 3-point shooting this year. They just shot, I think it was, they were 13 of 23 in the Ivy League title game, for which is basically 55% from 3, which is unbelievable. And they can shoot the lights out. So if they are able to shoot and they're not needing to get rebounds because the shots are falling, A&M's going to be in trouble. Also, want to point out, Spanakopita, to the one guy who said that we don't bring any new info that the casual fan doesn't know.
Hey, how about Wesley though? He's back with another donation. What's your thoughts on Tennessee's outstanding baseball team, Marler?
Dude, they're the best team in the country. They're incredible. Like they are. I think it's so funny too watching all the hate that they get about. Well, that ball wouldn't go out because they play in a bandbox. They play in a small park. there's not a lot of balls that are being hit off of those bats that are just scraping the back of the fence at that baseball park. They are really good. I've always said, I think that Tennessee baseball team in the past couple of years has almost like, it's like they play as if all Twitter were a team, that would be them. That would be them. I mean, like they just embrace the villain role so well. And like, here's the thing that's really scary about them, man, is like they hit so well. I think a couple weeks ago, this is at least 2 weeks ago, they had 38 home runs already. And we were less than a month into the season. So they were technically on pace to break that 1997, I think, LSU record of like 189 home runs for the Gorilla Ball year. But they're also really good on the mound too. They're really good. They have a really good pitching staff. I saw the shit talk about South Carolina.
Liquid says, you know your stuff. He's been listening to you Liquid. For 4 or 5 years. So yeah. All right. How about Mississippi State Baylor? I know this.
Imagine being like the last part of that sentence. The content that comes from the last three letters in that sentence from Liquid.
SOS?
The content they had now, and then these two faces on the screen. Maybe not the prettiest, but my God, what a bunch of fucking idiots.
Ooh, I'm glad you said it. I was thinking it. Mississippi State Baylor, pick 'em. How's this a pick 'em, Marler?
What's going on? Oh, Mississippi State. This is my lock of the week.
Yeah.
Are we just talking shit about South Carolina? I was asked a question, Aaron. Are you okay? So I think I like this pick for a number of reasons. The components that I use, I like going into March. Love good coaching, love like decent defense. Mississippi State's not a great defensive team, but they will rebound well when they're on. And I told you this the other day too. Mississippi State is one of five teams in the SEC that had a winning record away from home. Mm-hmm. Now, listen, I think Mizzou's a really good team, but Mizzou also was an 18-2 at home this year. They didn't play a ton of even neutral site games. But only five teams in the conference had a winning record away from home, and Mississippi State was one of them. The other were the usual suspects: Auburn, Florida, Bama, Tennessee, like, and then Mississippi State. They also have Josh Hubbard, who just set a record during the SEC tournament where he has the most points scored of any player in NCAA history after his freshman and sophomore season with like 1,009. Wow. And that was before his second game of the tournament. So I love the fact that Hubbard is a guy that can go get you at least 10 points just from three. And if he's on, we saw it against Bama earlier this year. He had 30. You saw it in the first round of the SEC tournament. He could be really good. I don't know anything about Baylor. I know a lot about Waco thanks to Netflix documentaries, but I'm taking Mississippi State as my lock of the week.
Well, my lock is because of JR. He gives a membership every show, Marla. Even if we do multiple shows a day. So appreciate you, cousin JR. He gifted a membership to Aaron DeWitt. Aaron, welcome to the family, courtesy of the legend JR. He's go dog. So how dare you say Georgia? Georgia can't beat Houston, you son of a JR to the Final Four. I agree with that. All the way to the damn championship, if you ask me. We got two more games. Oklahoma, UConn. Oklahoma's a 4.5-point underdog. How in the hell can they be an underdog? I guess UConn, back-to-back national champs, but they ain't winning the national championship this year, are they?
I don't think so, but I don't know. They are a really well-coached team. I don't think anybody in the country is looking at that, like looking at UConn and being like, yeah, I'm good. I want them. I don't care how bad they've been this year or how much they've fallen off. Like, no one's.
How about Oklahoma's freshman though? I mean, he's outstanding.
What's his name?
I mean, he's got headband. I call him headband.
Fears. Yeah, he's awesome, yeah, there you man. Go. He's awesome. He was great in the tournament. He was great late in the season too. And also a guy that like, doesn't have a weak side. He will ever be forced into. He can go left. He can go right. He's really good at getting to the rim. He's really good at getting to the like getting buckets like close to the rim. He's also a phenomenal 3-point shooter. He's just a scorer. Him and Trey Johnson, they're kind of cut from the same cloth in that. And it's interesting because when you talk about the SEC this year, there's so much talent, like college level talent, in the SEC. Like Jani Broome, who's not going to be a early round pick. There's a Mark Sears, not going to be an early first round pick. But like all of the actual like legit lottery talent that you see, those two kids lead the way, Johnson and Fears. And then you also have Asa Newell from Georgia. So I like Fears a lot. I mean, I'm honestly surprised the 4.5 isn't 4.5 isn't higher, because I kind of assumed that UConn would kind of steamroll there. But it would be a massive, massive feather in the cap. You could argue the point, Mike, there might not be a bigger feather in the cap on opening weekend than if Oklahoma beats UConn in round one.
I think that's the only thing missing from this hat is a feather. Final one here, Vanderbilt, St. Mary's. Vanderbilt also a 4.5-point underdog against St. Mary's. What's your thoughts on that matchup?
Here's a fun fact. I was Sunday years old when I found out that Mount St. Mary's and St. Mary's were two different schools.
That is fun.
I mean, I probably could have figured that out with the different names. I didn't, though. against all odds, I refused to do it. I think that Vanderbilt, they are going to need Tyler Nickel to be back to his normal self. That is a guy, I said it going into this SC tournament, like, that's a kid. Tyler Nickel could be a household name in like, SEC fandom and also in the, like, national stage. I don't know how far Vandy can realistically get, like, because they would have Bama in round two. I don't know how far they could realistically get. But if Tyler Nickel, that's a guy that, like, you saw it against A&M when they went on the road in College Station and beat him. He hit, like, 6 threes or 7 threes. Like, that guy hit 2 or more threes, I want to say, in, like, 13 of his final 15 games or 11 of his last 14 or something like that, and then just went 1 for 7 in the first round of the tournament. They need him to be on if they're going to win that game.
So let me ask you this. We're about to do all the picks here. Who are you most confident in the SEC wins their first round game? And let's take number one and number two seeds off the table, because I think those are not automatic, but damn near automatic. So we're not talking Auburn, who we don't even know who they're playing yet. We're not talking Florida, not talking Tennessee or Alabama. Who? Everyone else, who are you most confident they win round one?
I mean, the answer should be Kentucky. The answer should be, I mean, they're a three seed. It should be Kentucky. It should be one of those. Like, in 8 and 9, they should be very, very evenly matched. But I like Kentucky to beat Troy. I think Mizzou beats Drake. But I really like those 2 8-9 matchups for the SEC. I like Mississippi State. And here's the thing too, with Mississippi State, Vegas likes it too. Yeah. Vegas, they opened up as a 2-point underdog. And by Monday, that line moved to Mississippi State by 1.5. I know you said it was a pick 'em, and maybe that's in a different book, or the book that pays you. Make sure you guys check out my bookie. You're welcome. But they had in other sports books, that thing had moved by up to 3.5 points in a very short time span. And listen, I admittedly don't know enough about Baylor or Gonzaga, but I do know enough about Georgia. When I look at Georgia, Georgia's a team that beat St. John's earlier in the year. Georgia's a team that beat Florida at home, took Auburn down to the wire, even though Jahni Broome was out in that game. But that's a team that when they needed it most at the end of the year and had to win, they won 4 straight games. And I told you this too, Mike, halfway through the month of February, there was a point when you looked up at the standings and there was no one in the league who had more than three consecutive wins over anybody at that point. So that's how difficult it is to win 4 or more games, especially for some of these mid-level, lower-level teams in the SEC in conference play this year. And Georgia was able to do it, and they were able to do it when they needed it most.
All right, so same question, but just a little flipped here. Which team are you most concerned about, or least confident, however you want to say it, their round one matchup that they advanced to round two out of the SEC?
I mean, Oklahoma. I mean, they're playing the two-time defending national champions, and it's tornado season. Tough times in Oklahoma. You've seen the movies. Oh, there's a cow. Another cow. Nope. That's just a big for UConn getting another 20-10 double double. I mean, that's just, it's going to be very tough.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
There's 14 teams in this damn thing, so we're going to have a lot of SEC marching on. Let's break it down bracket by bracket.
Okay.
Let's do the South first, because that's where we're
at. Hell yeah, dude. It's going to rise again.
Yeah. So, I mean, who you got in these first round games?
All right, I think Auburn beats Allstate in round one.
Yeah.
I'm more of a Jake from State Farm guy. Lovely. Mm-hmm, just, mm-hmm. I mean, Mocha Skip, beautiful. Everyone's on Louisville Creighton, and I've been like very big. Sorry, Jesus, please. I'm really big on the fact that Louisville's a top 10 team because it fits my narrative for all the Duke slander I've been pushing on online. I'm going to take Creighton because I think that they are a little bit more balanced and ready for this. They're a veteran team and they can shoot the lights out. You will not see, I mean, Mike, unless you go to LA Fitness or YMCA on Saturday, you're not going to see more white kids on the court than when Creighton goes out there. It is wild to watch. Let's see here. Michigan, UC San Diego. San Diego is one of the best teams in the country, both offensively and defensively from a metric standpoint. I don't think Michigan's that good. We've seen them struggle a ton, even though they just went on a run to win the Big Ten tournament. Shocker, I don't think the Big Ten's that great in most sports. And it was an impressive finish because they beat Wisconsin. They beat Michigan State. Wisconsin beat Michigan State. Either way, I think Michigan is kind of more so in a position at a five seed because of the last weekend more than anything. UC San Diego, it's their first year as a D1 program. I'm going to take them to win. Yale and A&M. Yale and A&M. I don't love this, man. And I think it's super lame because Yale already did this last year. But get to know the name Jason Palkadoukalakis, because that kid can flat out stroke. Yale is going to beat A&M, and either Yale or UC San Diego will make it to the Sweet 16. Up next, I'm going to take Ole Miss. Padula better bounce back, though. Like, mm-hmm. Ole Miss just doesn't really do anything that's, like, super, super impressive. Like they're good. They beat Tennessee at home. They beat Bama on the road. I think they got Kentucky, from what I remember. I don't think UNC is going to be there. I'm going to take, I don't know who wins tonight, but I will be pulling for San Diego State. If you want me to get on the soapbox with the UNC thing, I would love to at the end of this, Ecclesiastes. I would love to, get on a soapbox with UNC at the end of it, if you'll allow me to. So I'm going to take Ole Miss there. Iowa State, they should be healthy. Listen, Iowa State was a 2-loss team when they were healthy, going into February, and then they ended up finishing the year 7-7 because they were missing two of their best players. I still think they're going to beat Lipscomb, so I'll take them. I don't know shit about New Mexico. I don't know why it's called Land of Enchantment. That sounds real stupid. It seems just like West Texas, but with more colorful Hispanic origins. That's all. I'll take Marquette.
And Epstein lived there. I know that.
Did he really?
Yeah, he had a big compound in New Mexico.
I think it'd be funny if Trump made like a just decided to take like Arizona and it was like, we're going to call this newer Mexico. just for no reason at all. That's not a political statement. It's just being stupid. Hold on. I can't watch. I'm recording, but do that. Okay.
How about Michigan State versus Kobe Bryant?
I was going to say Bear Bryant, brother.
yeah, that makes more sense for this show.
Yeah. Wow, Kobe Bryant reference? Jesus. I'll take Michigan State. Mexico the third. Mexico the trace. Okay, so that's all for the first round. You want me to keep going?
Unlike him, that joke landed. Yeah, let's keep going.
Oh, my God, Mike. That's terrible.
That's a Mark Norman joke.
That's really bad.
He's the GOAT.
He's really funny.
Auburn Louisville in Lexington though? I mean, is it fair that they got to play there?
No, it's really stupid. Like it's just listen, if they were a number one seed, that's one thing. You're the number one overall seed. You're given that because you earned it throughout the entire year. They deserve to be the number one overall seed. They deserve the easiest route to at least the second weekend. So I think it's going to be Creighton, but I will take Auburn to win both. I think the second game is going to be a little bit tougher. What Auburn needs to do is get Pettiford and CBM back into a place of confidence and just kind of like I would run the offense for both of those guys and just demand that you got at least three threes out of Pettiford, maybe get Miles Kelly going from beyond the arc a little bit too, and then try to get at least 12 to 15 from Pettiford and CBM before going into round two so they get a little confidence back. in the next game, it's between Yale and UC San Diego. I'm going to take UC San Diego. I don't know anything about this team. I just heard the fact that they were – yes, that is what they're known for. I just know that if you are – from a metric standpoint, and there's so many of them involved in college basketball, if you are that high in offense and defense, I don't care if you are in the first year of your D1 status. I will take UC San Diego to make the Sweet 16. Ole Miss and Iowa State, I'm taking Iowa State. Marquette and Michigan State, I'm taking Michigan State. Then Michigan State versus Iowa State. I'm still going to take – you know what? I'll take Iowa State if they're healthy. I'll take Iowa State. Mm-hmm. No, that's stupid. I'll take Michigan State. I'll take Michigan State. And then Auburn and UC San Diego, I'll take Auburn. That's the Elite Eight, right? So then you got Auburn and Michigan State, so chalk it for the finale. I will take Auburn to make the Final Four.
Ooh, all right. I love that. One bracket down, SEC is already in the Final Four. How about in the East? Who you got winning this?
There's nobody I hate more right now than Duke. I will take Duke to win the first round. I got Mississippi State in the second round.
Have you seen the latest Jimmy Dykes Duke stats?
Did you see that Jay Billis referenced my tweet on air?
No, he didn't. Did he give you credit?
No, of course not. I texted you about it during the game. He was like, Jay Billis was like, I saw somewhere or read somewhere or saw it on Twitter or something that there's a stat, you know, there were 14 teams in the SEC that had more ranked wins than Duke. And I even told our – this is the part you'll love, Mike. He goes, I even said to our ESPN stats and research guys, I was like, this can't be true. And I was like, that's good. Always good to fact check Marler because he gets that ADD involved and it's not always great. All right, moving on. So Oregon Liberty. Liberty is one of the better offenses in the country. I think it's a good 12-5 matchup. I do think Oregon is a little bit more not experienced is not the right word, but like they are a little bit more battle tested. I like Oregon to beat Liberty. I like Arizona to beat Akron. Arizona at 4 is kind of like shocking to me. BYU VCU, those Mormons sure can shoot the lights out. And that's not a reference about Waco, I promise. BYU advances. Wisconsin, one of the better offenses, the best offensive team that Wisconsin's had since the 1970 and 71 season. So I will take Wisconsin there. St. Mary's and Vanderbilt. St. Mary's at 7 is a very shocking seed for me. They won their conference, I think, over Gonzaga. If that was Gonzaga that had their record and played in that conference, I think they'd be a lot higher. But I will take St. Mary's, and then Bama against Bob Morris. I'll take Bama.
Oh, what a homer pick.
What a homer, dude. All of my teams. I mean, well, what's his name? Thinks I'm a South Carolina fan. So must be doing something right. So Duke and Mississippi State, I'll take Duke. Oregon and Arizona, I'm taking Arizona. BYU and Wisconsin, I'm going to take BYU. I think Wisconsin's better than people think because they are the second highest seeded team from the Big Ten this year and then played for the Big Ten championship. So, but I just think that BYU, I think BYU played in a better conference in the in the Big 12. I know that might just be, I don't know, inflammatory.
What happens if you find out that BYU's doing some shenanigans? They're hiding people.
Bro, do you remember when BYU, this is like 5 or 6 years ago, BYU had their best player.
Jimmer?
Yeah, no, it was actually not a white guy, but I can't remember his name. Somebody can help me out in the comments if they want, but they had their best player was like, dude, he was like an 18 and 10 a game, like double-double machine, and he got in trouble for having
honor space. Code. Honor yeah. code, brother.
Yeah.
You can't do that. You can't do that at BYU.
No. Okay, go back. I don't want to see my face.
You're too close. Too close.
No, it's so close. It's so close. So I'll take BYU over Wisconsin. I'll take Bama over St. Mary's. I'm getting booed in my own apartment from that. Then Duke and Arizona. I'm going to take Duke. BYU and Bama. Give me Bama.
Oh, come on.
And I need this like I need fucking air to breathe, Mike. And I don't care how this is. I am seething. This is like you in 2022 for when you were watching Bama play in Neyland Stadium. I want fucking Duke. Bring them to me on a platter. Bama beats Duke, goes to the Final Four. And if they do, I will lose a fifth fucking Twitter account because that's how fucking amped up I'll be. I'm amped up now.
Nice.
I am so sick of hearing about Duke. Duke won against Louisville on Sunday in the ACC championship, and it was their first. It was their first win over a ranked opponent. Go back. it was their first win over a ranked opponent in 101 days. All right, next bracket.
Oh, man. So we got two SEC in the Final Four. I love it. West, we're looking good here, too. Let's predict the West here.
Florida, UConn. I'm going to take Memphis because I don't know enough about Colorado State. Mm-hmm. Now, Grand Canyon is a good team. Grand Canyon, I think, won like 28 games or 26 games, something like
that.
Isn't
that an online university?
It is an online. Dude, it's a school for profit or whatever. It's like it's weird because it's in the shadows. It's in Scottsdale. It's like in the shadows of Arizona State. But nevertheless, they're a good team. They went to the second round last year against Alabama, got kind of blown away late. I will take Maryland over them in the Crab Five because it's the best nickname in all of college basketball. I already said Mizzou. I'll take Texas Tech. I will take Kansas and then St. John's. I really want to pick Kansas over St. John's because I don't – but I do think that Patino is going to be a really, really tough out in this tournament. I'll take St. John's. Missouri and Texas Tech, I'm going to take Missouri. I think it just kind of fits the narrative of this year's team and how great they've been. And if they can get on and shoot the lights out like we've seen them do, and Caleb Grill can go back to being himself and they can be tough inside, I do think Missouri can beat Texas Tech, who has been – a good team, not a great team. Memphis and Maryland, I'll take Maryland. And then Florida and UConn, I will take Florida, but it'll be closer, I think, than people think. Anyway, Florida and Maryland, I'll take Florida. Mizzou and St. John's. Give me Mizzou.
Oh, come on. Yeah. I love it.
They're going to get beaten round one from that Canadian pedophile Drake. but I'll take Mizzou in Florida in the Elite Eight. This seems like this is such a homer pick, dude. And then I'll take Florida in the Final Four. So we got three. Okay, so we're
three out of four. And here we go. Tennessee can be the final one here out of the Midwest. Who you got coming out of the Midwest?
I got Houston round one, Georgia over Gonzaga. Now, this right here, Mike, this is the best game. Do not put this. This is the best game of the tournament that I'm looking forward to. Clemson and McNeese State. Clemson is a really, really good team. They were a blown lead away last year from going to the Final Four against Alabama and made the Elite Eight a year ago. They have a lot of that same core coming back and a great head. Alabama State won, by the way. They're playing Auburn. On a Hail Mary. Allie said they won on a Hail Mary. So,
breaking news.
Make sure you guys go follow my girlfriend on Twitter. She's almost as famous as Mike. So, let's see here. What was I saying? Clemson and McNeese. Oh, McNeese is – I'm sure you saw the viral video of their manager, who's a fucking boss, and just got – three NIL deals, like from doing like a rap. And unlike Barstool Mincy, he didn't say all the words that he wasn't supposed to. So I like McNeese. They're really well coached with Will Wade. I it's a perfect matchup. It's also his alma mater.
Hey, here it is right here. Clemson. I think I can show this real quick. Let's see. We might get removed.
My own face.
We might get removed for
seconds
this.
Seconds left, and here we go. This is where dreams are made. Call for it all. Simpson home run play, the deflection.
Oh!
It was a Hail Mary and a home run all in one.
Nice.
So,
Allie for the win here. Okay, back to the Midwest.
So real quick, I want to address one thing that Honey Butter and Cornbread said. If Cooper Flagg plays, no one's beating Duke. I don't even necessarily disagree with you, but I cannot bring myself to look at that team who played no one. We thought Indiana was a joke with their schedule. Duke, it's so fucking ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. Zero wins over ranked opponents. Zero wins over ranked opponents for 100 days, which is almost impossible to do in the college basketball season. Okay. Anyway, I'm going to take Clemson, even though I love McNeese and I love the story, and it's a perfect spot for them to lose. High Point is a 29-win team, and 13-4 is a really good spot for an upset. I think Purdue's got too much. They went to the national championship a year ago. They got a lot of that coming back. They could be a dangerous team. I'm going to take Purdue. Illinois and Texas. Give me Texas because I think they're going to be Xavier and Illinois. Kentucky over Troy. I'm going to take Utah State over UCLA. It's a team that's played disinterested at times. This season, Utah State's been a team, even though it was a while ago with Eric Musselman. They've been pretty good in the tournament as of late. Tennessee and Wofford. Give me the Terriers. No, I'm kidding. give me Tennessee. I'll take Tennessee over Utah State. I'll take Kentucky over Texas. I will take Purdue. I'm sorry. I'll take Clemson over Purdue. No. Sorry. I'll take Purdue over Clemson. My bad. Houston over Georgia.
You just pick them all. You can't be wrong.
Yeah. Houston over Georgia. I will then take Purdue upsetting Houston against Tennessee. And you know as well as I do, Mike. You know as well as I do. Tennessee doesn't beat Purdue in anything. So I got Purdue in the final four over Tennessee.
Purdue, come on.
More like Purdue. I'll take Bama over Purdue. I'll take Florida over Auburn. And I'll take Florida winning the national title over Alabama.
That's a good look for you right there after that Tennessee prediction. Mm-mm-mm. So, man, even still, if it's three SEC teams in the Final Four, good Lord. I mean, that would be incredible. Has that ever happened before?
No.
I mean, any conference sending three?
I'm not sure. I know that Duke and UNC had two. They both got in a couple years ago.
Right.
I'm sure the ACC's had years where they've been really good, but it might have been in the new age of conference realignment. I don't believe it's happened.
Mm-mm-mm. Well, so, hey, you got anything lined up special for the tournament? What kind of content are you going to be having for us?
So over at LouisianaSports.net, where my day job is, got a lot of best bets every day. We ended the tournament, I believe, 10-3 over the final 2 days on our best bets, which is great for Big Picks Energy. Make sure you check that out. Duke, UNC, Miami. That wasn't that long ago, I feel like. And then, okay.
Have you seen the Vols play? Come on.
I have. They're really good. If there was an all SEC Final Four, I would sacrifice a losing season for Bama in football for that. I genuinely would. It would be awesome.
It may not be much of a sacrifice. I think that's coming soon.
That's unbelievable. Anyway, but I would take that, and then I would take we'll be doing that, and we'll have we're doing a fan bracket, a fan poll bracket of the worst fans in college football. And then, so just make sure you keep up with that.
Okay, don't you dare put any of these cousins in there.
Never. Not individual fans.
Oh, okay, it's just the fan bases. Gotcha.
I scoured Twitter for the 16 worst people I could meet.
I honestly believe you would do something.
All Tennessee fans. All Tennessee fans.
All right, buddy. Thank you so much. Well, they can see it on the screen, but maybe for people listening back, how do they follow you specifically?
Vern Dumquist. There's no E, but Vern Dumquist.
Bernie. Twitter.
Bernie. And then Vern Funquist CFB on all the other social media as well. Follow along with that and ESPN 104.5 and all that good stuff.
All right, buddy. Thank you so much. Enjoy the tournament, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.